Season 2, Episode 18th, Innuendo. It opens up with Sipowicz talking about his strong stream, so he doesn't have to see he doesn't have to see a doctor, and Simone is telling him he should. Sipowicz freaks out on John because he feels like he is eavesdropping on their conversation.
Yeah, he's a little too close and he doesn't like it.
They get a call about an officer-involved shooting, and there's a DOA at a restaurant close to that location. As they drive there, they get pulled over by a councilman, Paul Manos, who mentions that like 18,000 times.
Oh, yeah, fucking Paul Manos.
And they, you know, they're driving, they get pulled over by this guy. Sipowicz goes out to help him, Simone goes down the street. And it's basically chaos. There's like a gun battle down the street. There's people with bullet wounds, like walking down the street, and
the people shot at a restaurant, because that's where Paul Manos comes from, right?
Yeah, a guy. According to the witnesses, this woman was a waitress, and a guy just came in stone faced, shot her directly in the chest, and then walked out.
Yeah.
He walked out.
Paul Manos was outside flagging down all the cops to get them to come to the restaurant.
Like, absolute insanity, because a rookie cop starts following him. Then the guy turns around, sees that it's a cop. They start firing at each other. He runs away. They hit pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Two more cops show up, and he goes into a garage. He seems to evade all the police officers, shoot two of them. And at the end of it, there are, from what I remember, four cops shot, three civilians, and I believe three different people dead.
Whoa.
So there's a media frenzy immediately.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's all over the place. Paul Manos is holding his own press conference on the street talking about how inefficient the 911 system is.
And then that's when Sipowicz makes, like, a snarky comment and gets in the car.
Also, it gets a little racist in the beginning because they find out that the people who own the restaurant are Colombian.
Yeah.
So Sipowicz is like, I'll bring in the owner, see about a drug angle.
Yeah.
And when he does, he goes, so, you're in the restaurant business, got anybody out for you? It's a dangerous business. And the guy's like, well, what do you mean by that? And then he's like, well, you know. And then the guy's like, so I'm Colombian, so immediately I have issues with drugs?
Drug money.
And then Sipowicz is like, I'll be honest with you, every time I run into trouble with a Colombian, drugs are involved. And then the guy just leaves. Like, he just leaves the whole interrogation.
Yeah, he, like, gets really, like, and rightfully so. You know, he's done nothing wrong other than just own a restaurant.
Yeah, it was kind of absurd. And even at that point when I watched it, because when you watch NYPD Blue, you have to adjust for political correctness inflation. Like, sometimes words are used that we no longer use anymore, or storylines or things that happen. You're like, okay, well, they can't do that on TV anymore. But when Sipowicz is like, well, Colombian, so you know there's drugs. I was like, okay, well, that's just too broad of a racist statement to make, like, ever. Because according to them, it's just a crazy stone-faced white guy who put a bullet in this woman's chest and then walked out. Like, that doesn't seem... And then starts shooting at random people down the street. Like, that doesn't seem like drug thing to me, but what do I know?
What do you know, random white guy from California?
They talk to Officer Pacone, who is the rookie, who some say is the reason all this happened, because he didn't take down the guy immediately, he followed him. And it's pretty clear that the guy's terrible at his job. Like, he's super nervous, they ask him for a description of the guy, and he can't give one. He's too jittery and just doesn't seem like he's good for the job.
Yeah, and they kind of hint at that. They kind of feel it when they're talking to him. Mm-hmm. They kind of understand. Like, cops, it's like in any profession, you can kind of tell who's going to be good at it and who isn't. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of look at this kid and they're like, yeah, I don't, like, how did this happen?
That councilman dude shows up to the precinct. He's like, I'm here for my statement. And then Martinez is like, all right, you can wait to give yours. We have a line, and we'll get to you when we get to you. And so he sits for a while, and when he finally gets at a desk with Simone, he says a whole bunch of shit, like, if this is how long it takes, of course this guy got away, you guys are inefficient. And Simone's like, do you have a description of the guy? And he's like, and he describes like everything from the waist down.
Yeah.
So then he goes, well, maybe if you were under the table, you can give that good of a description.
Well, Simone picks up on it too. Simone realizes like this guy's being a total asshole. And then all of a sudden, just like that, boom, they found out like he wasn't really being brave. He was actually being a big pussy. And like he keeps giving them shit, but they were like doing their job and he was just, yeah, anyways.
Simone says, well, maybe you were under the table, and the guy, yeah, like the guy gets super, super offended right after that and then leaves.
Yeah.
And Simone just sits there smiling because he's happy to piss off that guy. Another thing that happens is Fancy gets news that his brother Reggie, who has never been mentioned before on the show, is in some hot water with his sergeant. So the guy's like, just to let you know, he's been having some issues with his sergeant. They had a dust-up at the station house. So Fancy sends for Reggie to show up at his office to talk about it. And Reggie is a famous face. It's actually Michael Jai White, who was in The Dark Knight and Black Dynamite and a couple other things.
He was in Spawn.
He was in Spawn. That's one of his known for.
He was Spawn.
He was Spawn, and he was in Spawn. He was in Spawn as Spawn. And he, like, these scenes always make me a little uncomfortable, because it's like, well, in the second scene, Fancy just straight up drops the N-word, which I didn't realize was going to happen. But
yeah.
he basically says, the guy's racist, and he's an asshole just to me, and I'm not going to take that shit. And Fancy just kind of, like, goes, hey, man, like, relax. Like, if you just calm down, this isn't that big of a deal. And Reggie gets more crazy and angry at him. And then he just kind of dismisses him. And, like, it just ends in a very weird... It was... I don't know. I didn't feel great about the scene, period. But that was...
Well, no, doesn't he say, like, I'll talk to him, I know him?
Yeah. But he said...
Yeah.
He implied that he was going to do that, like, from the beginning. Like, I used to be friends with that guy. He's not a bad guy. I'll go talk to him. And then we smash cut to Sipowicz getting a prostate exam, which was the weirdest fucking scene I've seen on the show recently, where it's just Sipowicz bent over and a dude with his fingers up his ass.
Yeah.
And, like, it was the most comedy they tried to squeeze out of a guy putting his finger up somebody's ass they could. Because, like, the way they're talking to each other, and he said, you pitching a tent up there, Doc? And then... He's like, okay, well, you know, we'll just have a...
pitching a tent up there, Doc.
And he's like, well, we'll set up for a second appointment and see how you're doing. Because it turns out he just has, like, an inflamed prostate. He keeps calling it prostrate, which is prostate. And he says, okay, well, I'll just have a second meeting. He's like, oh, I'll circle that on my calendar with a happy face.
It's pretty funny.
Cuts back to the house. Medavoy has a homeless guy who gives a fantastic description of their shooter. But the guy's also crazy. Because then he starts talking about how he is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And starts talking a bunch of crazy. And then Medavoy, probably in one of his very few hard moments, goes, hey, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about your great description and... I want you to tell the sketch artist exactly what you told me. Mm-hmm. And then the guy kind of like, he's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's weird. They break their own rule. It's weird. I mean, is it ethical that they're going to use it like this?
I don't think so. I mean...
Or use this man like this? No, well, but it helps him solve the crime.
What I also found weird, and maybe this is true and I just didn't notice, like you can't tell because of what happens at the end of the episode... He gives it a really good description of the guy, but that description looks exactly like him. The guy giving the description.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm thinking it might be that guy, and he came in and gave a description of himself, and then left the police station, then later gets involved in what happens in the very last scenes of this episode. Because as he gave the description, I was looking at the guy, and I was like, you have all of those descriptives.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they were that clever and I just didn't notice because of the way the last scene is set up. Fancy gives a demonstration of the events of the day, and it makes all the cops look like idiots. Because they say the guy walked into the restaurant, shot the woman point blank, walked outside, he is now being pursued by the rookie cop. Guy turns around at this corner, rookie starts firing, misses him completely.
Yeah.
Guy fires back, hits a pedestrian on the street. We have a dead woman in the grocery store who was hit by a stray bullet in the head. We're still waiting for ballistics on that. Then two uniforms pull up as he runs into a garage and exchange fire. Both of them are shot, and then the guy escapes. And then the chief of D's and their boss, I forget his name, but it's the new guy, because Haverhill's gone. They're there, and, like, they're obviously not very happy, because it makes them all look like assholes. But what's great about that scene is right after he describes how terrible the situation is, and they start doling out work and what's going to happen, Fancy walks right up to his boss and asks for time off to take care of something with his brother.
Yeah, but his boss, it's the new boss, so he's kind of cool with it.
He says, this is a real bad time to ask for this, and he says, yeah, it's something involving my brother. He even says what it is. My brother is on the job, and he's having an issue with somebody, and I just wanted to go take care of that.
Yeah.
Which is like...
And they get it, because later on, when they're talking about it, the head guy comes in and says something. Fancy's boss explains everything, and he's like, yeah, Fancy was just catching me up on it. He throws Fancy, like, a solid, and it's like, oh no, he was telling me all about it, we're all caught up, type shit.
And he says to Fancy, because Fancy was like, thanks for, he's like, apparently I left at just the wrong time, and he says, we all have families, kind of like, we all have issues that sometimes we have to take care of it.
Yeah, we gotta deal with shit.
Oh,
I like the new boss, though.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, he's way better than the old boss, who was a dick to Sipowicz and Fancy. And a racist, but yeah. I like the new boss. He's a good character.
He's also straightforward, where he's like, "This isn't a good idea, but okay."
Yeah.
But
he's also learning about that department as he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning that it's different. Like the detective department's different.
I don't know when this happens, but at some point during the time they're all at the house, Sipowicz talks about his prostate exam, and he says, I can't believe some people do that for pleasure.
Yeah, he says that at the, he says that while he's at work.
And it was like, oh, well, that's, you know.
Because he looks immediately at John.
Because John is a gay man, and that's kind of rude in a weird way.
You don't know, John may be the man in the situation, and he may be putting his dick into stuff.
Yeah, he's a top, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he could be a top twink, twinkie top.
Oh man, while it would take up way too much time, it'd be really fun to run over that entire conversation between Dee and Dennis.
That was so funny. It's just them sitting there talking, like, basically breaking down all the gay vernacular was awesome.
Belisario, the guy that Sipowicz accused of being a drug dealer.
That's his name, Belisario.
He comes back and he won't talk to Sipowicz. He walks right past him and goes to Simone and says, yeah. You should probably check out the DOA's husband. He hasn't shown up for an audition, which I set up for him, and he really cares about his music. I think something's wrong with him.
He wouldn't have missed it, is what he said, yeah.
And then he says, I'm sorry, I have to get back to my restaurant. I got 200 kilos of cocaine coming in. And then Sipowicz says, be nice. Which is like, dude, you fucking... you were super racist. He's allowed to be that.
Super racist to this guy for no reason. He was like he's being really cool to you guys.
So they go to look for that guy, and he's lying in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
They break down the door. Well, they have to get let in by this jackass who won't let him in, even though he's like, "We're cops, let us in." He's like, "Why? What's going on?" And he's like, "La sad," and they start screaming at him. It was like really, really funny. And as they're looking over the apartment, because the guy is found in his apartment dead, the fucking asshole who didn't let them in comes in with a camcorder and starts filming them.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz gets all up on his face and is like, are you involved in this? What is this about? Are you involved with this? What are you doing? And the guy's like shit in his pants. And then they start hearing a woman pounding on the door in her apartment. And she's been barricaded in her own closet.
Yeah.
And they get her out and bring her to the house.
And she knows who he is.
Yeah.
The guy who did all this.
Apparently, it's a guy named Simon Capers, who used to live in the apartment next to her, but now it's being rented out by the woman who was dead in the restaurant,
and the guy found him.
But she's like, he was always a nice guy, it's just he got kicked out, and now he's been seen just outside the apartment staring at it and stuff.
Yeah, then don't they make a mention that he went to, like, he was an intellectual, basically?
Yeah, like, he would write, and he was a nice, like...
He studied at NYU and shit.
A smart dude.
They're basically saying, like, that they're kind of hinting that he might be, like, too smart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of weird shit.
I wrote here, after that is when the new boss covers for Fancy, and then Martinez actually looks out for the rookie.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you don't want to give that statement now because you want to speak to your delegate and wait for all the facts to come out.
Yeah, he gives them the heads up.
Then there's a weird scene that it seemed weird to me. Sipowicz talks to Costas and says I talked to the doctor and he says it's okay for relations. And then Sylvia's like, oh, I thought you had slowed that down because of the news I gave you. And he's like, oh, no, that's not it at all. It's because I'm having these prostate problems. Then they kind of have this heart-to-heart, and then, of course, they bone. That's basically all it was. Just a check-in to remind you that they were on the outs because of prostate problems, but she thought it was because of the sexual assault, and then they get together, talk about it, and then they bone. That's all it was. Afterwards, John and Andy have a heart-to-heart at his desk.
Yeah.
Because he's like, look, I've been testy with you, and I know that you were just helping me out. Because he corrects him on the difference between prostrate and prostate. Prostate?
Yeah, and they get like, they have like a little bitch fit back and forth.
Well, not really. It's only Sipowicz that has the bitch fit.
Well, yeah.
He says like, oh, the old PA used to just give us our messages, but you give us definitions. But he says... He kind of goes, hey, man, I'm sorry. I've been dealing with some issues lately, and my prostrate, and then he corrects him later on that. It's just ridiculous.
Nah, but John's being petty. There's no reason to be like that, but he's being petty.
Andy gives an interview with the landlord, and the landlord tells him, like, oh, he's a very intellectual guy. He had tons of notebooks around. He had, like, he wrote a ton of shit that I had to take out of his apartment when I kicked him out. And then he said, do you still have these at your apartment? Or you're at your building? He said, yes, I do. And, like, we're going to go over there right now and take a look around. So they do. And there's a slope. There's the NYPD Blue slow motion action scene where Sipowicz goes to use the bathroom. The guy is actually in the apartment and stands up to shoot at him. And Simone gets him beforehand.
Mm-hmm. And blasts him away.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Like, you're about to pee, and then you look to your right, and some guy has a gun on you.
And then your buddy comes out and shoots him, and he dies, like, just immediately.
Yeah, it's like, bam, bam.
It's
crazy. That's so weird. So weird. But then later on, like, Sipowicz, they have a moment at their desk, and, like, Sipowicz says the other guy, you know, and he's talking about Caruso's character. He's like, you know, the other guy, he never did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's supposed to help solidify their bond.
Yeah, he, because he doesn't know exactly how to, like, he doesn't know how to talk about the subject, so he goes over and he's like, hey, do you mind if I, can I, like, wash your car for a year?
Yeah.
And then, he's just like, no, man, it's all right. We're all good. The end of the episode, he says thanks, and then Simone goes, anytime, partner. But something else, a couple other things that happened, just a funny line with Sipowicz. When he's talking to the landlord, he's like, you guys are going to pay for that door you broke down. And he said, oh, you got to file a claim for the door. How long do you plan to live? Basically saying they'll never pay for your door. And then...
Yeah.
And then Fancy has two meetings, one with the kid, the young cop, and he says, by the way, you're the one that killed the old lady. And then the kid freaks out and kind of loses his head about it. And Fancy says, you really need to consider if this is the job for you.
Yeah.
And then he has a meeting with his brother, Reggie, and just basically schools him in the way of being a black cop, which was awkward.
But it's good advice. And then, like, they kind of have a moment, and then Reggie's like, oh, I should come by. And yeah, he's like, yeah, whenever you want. And then he's like, well, I'll try.
Well, no, it's weird. It's super weird because he said, he gives him, like, this big speech and then kind of kills it. And then he's like, can I still come over and see Junior? And he says, yeah, whenever you want. Yeah. And he says, how about Saturday? And he's like, that'll work. And he's like, oh, Sunday. And he's like, whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah.
Like, just come on by. We're not...
They don't make a mention to why they don't get along, right?
Not really.
Okay.
Also, Simone talks to Fancy at the end of the episode. He's still high-strung from the shooting, and he plays the 911 call the guy made, and he gave him, like, the wrong location.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't very helpful on the phone, so they didn't know where exactly to go. And Simone freaks out in Fancy's office and then, like, cools his head and then goes back outside. But that was kind of a cool... Because Simone always seems to be in control and like, even-keeled. But that moment was pretty sweet with the 911 tape and all that. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else to talk about in this episode. It was cool, but... And it was also, like, super... Occasionally, NYPD Blue has these episodes where, like, they just try to get you with a lot of excitement, like, really quick, and then at the end, where there's, like, shootings and danger and such, and people yelling at each other. But, I don't know. I dug it. But I was hoping...
No, it was good.
I was hoping, because last episode we dealt with that Novak chick, I thought that continued immediately to the next episode, but it doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't, like, bummed to the point where I didn't like the episode. I was just like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a couple episode buffer there. Because I wanted to see Simone sweat out the fact that he's got to deal with this crazy bitch for more time, but whatever. NYPD Blues knows what it's doing. Doesn't need my help. Is there anything else you want to mention about this episode or anything?
Or this episode? No, it was good. It's just a good... These are good, solid episodes. Like, they're just... Like, like this is where they just hit, like, a consistent stride. And they're constantly just making good shit. And everything. Like, they're getting good actors. The stories are good. It's just overall really good.
I think I missed... Well, not really. I thought that the guy that played the landlord... Well, I thought he was a famous face because I could have swore I've seen him in stuff before. But according to his known for, not really.
Okay.
He was in The Sopranos for a little while. He's on The Good Wife for an episode, I think. But nothing there. And the guy that played the councilman, I could have swore I've seen him in something before, and I did, but not much else. He was in the original Point Break as a security guard.
Oh, interesting.
So, if you're a fan of Point Break, the original, you can see the guy that played the councilman as a security guard.
Who isn't?
Exactly. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is at AstroBrothersPodcast.com, but it is also linked through MixedBagOfHats.com. If you want to talk about specific episodes or the show in general, you can find us on Twitter at AstroBrosPod. We'll try to bring up topics that you found interesting, and if not, I'll just tag it in the end of the episode. You want to say anything about anything at all, Kyle?
No, the second season's almost coming to an end.
It's true.
Pretty good. Been pretty good so far. That's about it.
And you're right about hitting the stride, because we keep Simone for a little while after his introduction in season two.
And yeah, they go on a tear.
Of just really good episodes. So we're getting into the meat of it here at NYPD Blue Balls.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good one, everybody.
Later.